I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. There are some stories that need to be told. That's what the Missouri Veterans History Project is all about. Please welcome State Representative Jill Shoup of the 88th District and Project Volunteers Carl Mitchell and Nancy Kaiser. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Jill, let me begin with you. You are founder and chair of this project, and we, in fact, did a program on this a couple of years ago. It was before Veterans Day in 2011. And I remember at that time talking about that this current project came about because there was a similar project that the Missouri House cut off funds for.
That's right.
So you give us a little background on that?
Sure. There was about $300,000 per year in the budget, and a company was hired to do veterans' oral histories. And we were paying that company about $1,400 per person to do those histories. This was a mandate out of the Congress that was handed down, and it was not funded by Congress. So the state had to put in funds, and monies were needed elsewhere. So many of us were up on the floor of the House saying, we need these dollars in other parts of the budget. And I got up and said, you know, this is a really important project, but with the University of Missouri-Columbia half an hour down the road, I think we can find volunteers to try to make this program move forward, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, Nancy and Carl, tell me what role you play in this.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I usually interview the veterans, and it's just an honor, really, to hear their stories. And as you said, these are stories that need to be told, and we don't want to lose them to history.
And Carl, how do you find these people, and where do you do the interviews?
Oh, we do the interviews all over. We've got close to 30 different locations that we do it within the St. Louis area, metro area, and we're expanding. We've just recently got a lot of veterans in the Troy area, which is outside the St. Louis metro area. But I mostly videograph the interviews and where we get them. It's word of mouth for the most part. But we go to different veteran organizations and make public speeches and that sort of thing.
All right. Before we go any further, why don't we jump right into this and share something with our listeners? This is from the project, the Veterans History Project. This is a gentleman by the name of Lowry Henley. He was in the U.S. Army Field Artillery from 1944 to 1945. And he's talking about using the homes of some locals where he was to keep warm.
How were you treated by the local people, the French and the Belgians?
They didn't like us because we just moved in the house and kicked them to one room. But we got in a house with this elderly alert lady, and we'd go eat and bring her mess kits back, and she'd clean up the mess kits, and so we'd give her food and everything else. We burned all their wood anyway, trying to stay warm.
So they weren't too happy about having everything of theirs.
No,
used.
Briquettes and everything else. Anything that would burn, we burned. And they would try to get it to go all winter. They had been out picking up sticks and branches and stuff. And it took us about 2 days to get rid of those.
Did you feel bad about that or just?
Did afterwards, because I don't know what they did. We used their briquettes too, which were little charcoal bits, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that I think is a really good calls to light, I think, something important. These stories don't have to be about what it was like in the middle of a huge battle. It could be about the little things.
We've had so many different stories, and they're all heroic stories. It just never fails to amaze us that each individual is a unique story. We've had people who we had one guy who said, I didn't do anything. And we asked him, what did you do? He says, I drove for General Patton.
Hmm. Well, you know, that story was from World War II. Jill, obviously you're interviewing veterans, I guess, even up to Afghanistan, right?
Absolutely. This is open to everyone who has served in the military. And we want to make sure, you know, we're particularly interested in ensuring that our World War II veteran stories get told while we have that opportunity.
I remember talking, I think it was with you, Carl, when you were here a couple of years ago, talking about World War II veterans and, you know, do the math. We're losing so many, I don't know how many are left, but it's a diminishing number, obviously.
Oh, it's like 1,100 a day.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. We have done, since this project started for the Library of Congress, there have been 90,000 interviews that the Library of Congress done. We've done here close to, well, since I began, it was over 300, but now it's probably closer to 500.
Between what's been done in Columbia and that interview you just played was a Columbia interview done in Columbia, Missouri. Between those and the ones here, we have done over 500 on really a shoestring budget. But if I could just add, you know, this is really about the rank and file members of the military. This is not some superstar who is going to be have a movie done or a novel written about him or her. These are the people who really make up the fabric of our history, their unique and personal stories.
Is it ever challenging, Nancy? Is it easy to get stories from these people?
You know, the interesting thing is I've interviewed people literally from age 30 to 101. And often they have not ever told the stories, at least in this way or in this level of detail, even to their own families. And some of them who are older, when you start talking about what happened 60 and 70 years ago, it's amazing how you can just sort of see it in their eyes, that it all kind of comes back, it's real, they remember details that are amazing. And I think one of the reasons that they want to have their story told is for that, so for their families as well as the community and just for history.
Joel, this next one we want to hear is, I think it touches you because it's a gentleman that you work with. Pat Conway?
That's right. He's a state representative from the St. Joseph area, and he is a Vietnam veteran. And he was on one of the first planes returning home from Vietnam, and 60 Minutes was on that plane doing an interview of the soldiers coming back.
He served in Vietnam in 1968, 69, and 70. Let's hear what he has to say.
The week of the flights that we came home on were met with dozens of demonstrators that with signs that said baby killer, they egged our bus, they threw things at us as we were going into Oakland Army base. This would have been Friday morning, June the 5th, 1970, and I didn't realize what Kent State was, and I'm starting to see these things. So I think that was probably the peak time. And you couldn't understand why. And the thing I'll remember vividly, as we were being processed, they gave us a brand new uniform, which I wore once. Master Sergeant said, "Gentlemen, if you have another set of clothing, I want you to put those on, because we cannot guarantee your safety going to San Francisco International Airport today." When I got to the airport, I mean, it was like you're a leper. Got on the airplane, and I'll never forget the lady, girl, probably my age, maybe a little older, got up and moved, wouldn't sit next to me. Somewhere over the Rockies, as the TWA flight was heading to Kansas City, a brand new recruit who just got out of basic training, or AIT, came to me, sat down. He was the only person I talked to on that flight. And he said, "I got orders to go to Vietnam." He said, "I'm thinking about going to Canada. What should I do?" And I couldn't answer him. I couldn't tell him that the patriotic thing to do is pack up your duffel bags and go. But I certainly couldn't tell him to take off his uniform and go to Montreal.
Right. We're talking to State Representative Joel Shoup and with volunteers Carl Mitchell and Nancy Kaiser of the Missouri Veterans History Project. And it occurs to me that you're getting this project really gives you an insight into history that you won't get from going to the library or reading a history book.
Absolutely. And as you know, we preserve these stories with the State Historical Society of Missouri and the Library of Congress. So they are available for family members, lovers of history, to hear and to study and to really get a sense of who we are.
And it seems like obvious to me that volunteers like Carl and Nancy, that the interviewer would play a pretty key role. I mean, it's the story, obviously. But there's an art to opening people up. And how did you prepare for that?
I think the best skill any interviewer can have is to be a good listener. And we actually talk about more than just their military experience. It really is capturing their entire life. And so we literally start at the beginning and sort of bring them through growing up and so forth. And they get more comfortable. They get more comfortable telling us some things that, as I said before, maybe they had never told anybody else.
Yeah, and Carl, I would think it could get emotional. You're sitting right across from someone that's sharing something that can be so personal.
We've actually had some veterans break down because they're...
What about you?
Me too. I mean, you get caught up in their story and you feel the emotion at the time. When that happens, we have to pause them in order to get for them to recompose themselves and continue on.
Let's hear another one, and I want to share this one with you because they're not all sad stories, right. And we should make that point. This is Walter Strait. He was a staff sergeant in the U.S. Army from 1944 until 1946.
I did have one young man in my territory from Bainbridge, Georgia, that couldn't read or write, and I wrote letters home for him to his family. And the second time he came to me and he said, "Sarge, would you write a letter home for me?" And I said, "I sure will." Lawson Wimberly, he was his name. I said, "Who do you write it to?" He said, "I want it to write to my girlfriend." And I said, "Well, what do you want to tell her?" "Oh, Sarge," he said, "you know what to tell her." "Tell her, though, who my platoon sergeant is and what I've been doing." And so I wrote him the best I could. Well, 15 years after I was out of the Army, I got a hold of him, and the first thing he said to me was, "Hello, Sarge." And the sweet little thing on the telephone that had answered it was the girl that I'd been writing letters home. So it was a successful venture.
Jill Shoup, you talked about funding for this project earlier. Are you in a good place?
Thank you for asking that really important question. We are not in a good place now because our goal is to expand throughout the state of Missouri. And in order to do so, we really need to have a staff person dedicated to taking this project around. So today and going forward, we're out sort of shaking the trees and looking for corporate sponsors who can help underwrite this program so that we can afford to hire somebody and pay the expenses we have.
And is the ideal just to go on forever?
Absolutely. We have created a sustainable product, and we want it to continue so that we capture everyone's story.
Let's listen to one short one. We have a short one from Nicholas Kundert.
I joined the Marine Corps to see the world, and I saw Iraq twice, the desert, the Mojave Desert, and North Carolina. It was a great experience.
Would you recommend military service to others?
I think military service should be kind of your requirement, because, you're fighting for your country and you're defending your country. I mean, I know it kind of sounds like a horrible thing, but I think it's a great idea to get everybody to do it so they can actually experience it, and then you'd put you on the level of everybody else. But so, yes, I'd say yes, I would recommend military experience for everybody.
The Missouri Veterans History Project is an organization that helps veterans record their stories. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to more information. You can find out how to get involved, maybe tell your story or support it financially or whatever you want to do. It's stories that need to be told, listened, and retold again. We want to thank State Representative Jill Shoup and project volunteers Carl Mitchell and Nancy Kaiser. It's very moving, and we thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. The Jewish Book Festival presents singer, songwriter, and author Michael Bolton in a discussion about his new autobiography, The Soul of It All, My Life in Music, Thursday evening, 7:30, at the B'nai Amuna Congregation on South Mason Road. I'll be interviewing Michael Bolton on stage, and we'll have a Q&A with the live audience. Dan St. Louis presents Canada's Royal Winnipeg Ballet in performances of Moulin Rouge, the ballet, tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 2 and 8 in UMSL's Two Hill Performing Arts Center. Mustard Seed Theater's production of Mrs. Sorkin and the Duck Variations opens tonight at 8 and will continue through February 10th in Fontbonne University's Fine Arts Theater. The St. Louis Classical Guitar Society presents Duo Virtuosi in a concert tomorrow night at 8 at the Ethical Society of St. Louis on Clayton Road. The Bach Society of St. Louis presents its 2012-2013 Young Artists in a Recital of Bach Arias and other favorites from operatic and recital repertoire, Sunday afternoon at 3 at Second Presbyterian Church on Westminster Place. The Friends of the University City Public Library host an evening with Terry Baker Mulligan, who will read from her book, Sugar Hill, Where the Sun Rose Over Harlem, a memoir, Wednesday evening at 7 at the U City Library on Del Mar, St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams talked with Terry Baker Mulligan on Cityscape December 7th. You can hear that conversation at stlpublicradio.org. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with cast members from the production of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert at the Fox, with graphic artist Bryony Gomez-Palacio. And Aaron Williams will take a look at a new exhibit at the Hands-On Black History Museum. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk about current issues pertaining to the law with a panel of legal experts. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and join us again next week.